Well, good week, everybody. Welcome back to the Weekly Harvest Podcast, episode number 74. It's been a hot minute. We'll talk about it. How you doing? My name is Chris Falco, Director of Game Day Operations, Community Relations with the Brandon Wheat Kings, the in-arena voice of the team. He's Rob Mann, the radio voice of the Wheat Kings. Rob, how are you?
Doing pretty well. It's funny, we've done this on camera a lot. I like reflexively saluted the camera when you said, he's Rob Mann. It's like a twitch.
Yes. This week we are back. It is audio only. Nobody wants to see us anyway, probably.
Oh, I see my own face enough times in the mirror. It scares me every time. Why would you want to watch me on a podcast?
Yeah. But we are back this week. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been able to do this. Life around here, when some people get it when they can see us on a game day and just how our weeks are, but we are a franchise that is run by basically in the office about four people now, five. And things can get very hectic around the end of the year when there's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, and then the road trip was in there as well. You add in me getting sick for a couple of days one week. And all of a sudden we look at it and it was like, man, we haven't done the pod in like 3 weeks. So, you know, but here we are. And if we were going to, you know, get back on track and start it, today's the day.
Absolutely. And we talk about it being hectic. It's an exciting kind of hectic. It's a good kind of hectic. It's not the world is burning down around our ears hectic. We've got playoff hockey.
It's just hard to find a couple of hours to sit down and then prepare a pod and that and everything afterwards. But we are here today. We have the time. We are super excited for it as well. As we look back at the year that was, we want to talk about, you know, sort of the end of the season, because it has been a few weeks and we haven't, you know, been able to catch up. So we hope that you were able to get out to our last game of the year, which is always a big deal for Wheat King Country, Rob, as we salute all the players with our annual awards night. And more than that, it's also the thank you to the players' families and to the Billets.
Yeah, and it's nice to see the 20-year-olds get their recognition. It's always a big moment, and it's also nice knowing that we recognize them, we salute them, we don't say goodbye to them yet. This isn't the end of their WHL careers. It's just a moment to reflect on the end of their regular season careers, and from now on, how long their careers continue is kind of in their own hands. They are the masters of their own fate, and it's such a good group of guys, not just the 20-year-olds, but the whole group. But if we're talking about the 20s specifically, it's such a good group of human beings that it's hard not to root for them to have the longest career possible going forward.
Let's go back and let's run through the award list and the guys that were, put in their time and their effort this year and were recognized the last game of the year. The Scholastic, the Maggie Yonds Memorial Award winner. Now, this is given out to the most Scholastic player, Glenda Zelmer, Lynn Shannon from the Foundation. They were giving out the award. This year went number 19, Carter Klippenstein. And that was not the only award, Rob, that we're going to see Carter get. So we'll talk about the other one coming up in a little bit. But it was a big night for Klipp, and he's had an incredible year.
Yeah, and it can be hard for us to get a sense of how guys are doing academically. We, of course, see the on-ice results. We see how guys do with the puck on their stick and how they're playing. But the academic side is such a tough one. I remember my last couple years of high school. I won't date myself by saying how many years we're going back, but I remember my last couple years.
Less than mine.
Yeah, being difficult. Like, they're hard, and you're preparing yourself for university courses. Sometimes you're even taking university-level courses at that frame, as Ethan Eskett was, I believe, earlier this year. It's not easy on its own. You throw a hockey player's schedule on top of that. The fact that you've got guys coming out of this with like 90-plus averages really just speaks to the intelligence and the work ethic of the kids we've got on board here.
And how good Glenda keeps them on track.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Speaking of which, before the game, there was a great presentation to our own Glenda Zelmer as she was given a WHL Service Award. This is a league award that's given out to a distinguished service member who has done a lot for more than just the franchise, but for the community for a long period of time, and that is Glenda. So shout out to our friend Glenda Zelmer, who does a great job with those kids. Up next after that, we gave out the Most Community-Minded Award. Now, this is an award that you could have justified a number of guys, Rob. The reason why we gave it to this guy is because in his short time here, when you talk about making an impact in the community at the events, when I think about the Wheat King Skills Day, where we had the skate with the Junior Kings Club kids, when we had our family day skate here with all the families after the game, Jackson D'Souza was the last player on the ice at those events. He was on the ice interacting with the kids, doing the dances with the songs. He goes above and beyond every time to try and make a positive impact in whatever he's doing.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys that immediately lights up a room when he walks into it. I mean, you've seen probably some of the videos from whether it's the skate, the All-Star game, the skills competition, or whether it's him on the road for Reed to Succeed. Like, he is right in the thick of it in the community, and he's the guy that a lot of kids gravitate to. I sometimes wonder if there isn't, you know, a little bit of intimidation because he's such a big guy, and some of the kids might look at him and go, oh man, that's a large human being. But instead he's so open and so warm with them that they just gravitate to him, and he does such a good job in the community. It says quite something that on a team with as many community-minded guys as we have, Jackson D'Souza was able to cement himself as that guy in this handful of short months.
Yeah, my 8-year-old loves him. he loves him. He's so sad that he's not coming back next year. Next up, we gave out the most inspirational. This is the Rob Stouffer Award, and Jaden Weans was the winner of this award. When you talk about a guy that would kind of define what this award would be, when you talk about inspirational play, Jaden Weans.
Yeah, he would be the guy that ticks all the boxes on that front. I mean, somebody who, as I used to say of former Prince Albert Raiders captain Evan Herman, he's 5'9", but nobody told him. He is right in the middle of the action every single time. When I asked him about the goals he scored, because he's on that run where he's got, you know, 7 goals in his last 8 games, and I asked him about the goals, and he says, yeah, these are my goals. You know, I'm scoring right close to the paint, classic Jaden Weans goals, and he's relishing that role. He's the guy that wants to go to the dangerous areas, take the abuse, and put the puck in the net. But he's also the guy that, if you are on the penalty kill, if you are trying to kill off a 6-on-5, whatever the situation, he's the guy you want on the ice. And just watch, if you're watching the Wheat Kings, how many times he's the first guy to hop the boards in a critical moment.
After that, we gave the overager presentation, which just saw two of those guys come right back up in Jackson D'Souza, Jaden Weans, and then Brett Hyland. At the beginning of the second period, we began it with the Hardest Working Player Award. This one has been named in honor of Mike Adamski. It was great to have his brother Mark Adamski and then Mark's son Noah there to help give it as well. It was 74, Brett Hyland. And when you talk about the hardest working player on and off the ice, it's Brett Hyland.
Yeah, there were contenders for that this year. I would say there was a logjam at second place, but it was pretty clear who was first. You watch the Wheat Kings any given night, even on the nights, and there were unfortunately a couple of these where they were on the wrong end of a blowout. He's still giving it his all every single shift. The score, I won't say it doesn't matter, because Brett does have a sense of the big moment. Like, if you're tied at 2 or something like that, he's the guy that's most likely to deliver. But the score doesn't impact his willingness to go 100%. He always leaves it on the line. That's what you want from a captain. And with playoff hockey coming up, I mean, playoff hockey is just built for a guy like this.
After that, we gave up the most sportsmanlike award. This one, it was almost a unanimous vote. We did all of our ballots. I mean, when you look at the points contributed to the penalty minutes taken and just the attitude of this individual, the most sportsmanlike is for sure Nolan Flamin.
I've come up with so many fun little stats for Nolan Flamin this year based on his lack of penalties. I think my favorite one was at one point he had as many shorthanded goals as minor penalties taken. And when you can specifically remember individual penalties that a guy has taken, because I do remember the last 2 penalties that Nolan Flamin took, and at least one of those was capital Q questionable. Like that cross-checking minor that he took, I think it was against Saskatoon, it was not a cross-check. Like, looking back on that, and I'm like, how do you assume
he
Nolan
doesn't
Flamin,
cross-check?
How do you assume Nolan Flamin is a guilty party? He of the 6 penalty minutes all year long. For some guys, that's a rough game. That's a rough weekend. But Nolan Flamin, while playing shutdown minutes, mind you, and that's the part that I really want to emphasize, this is a guy who, for pretty much the entire year, was getting the tough matchups as often as Marty Murray could give them to him. And he took, out of all those tough matchups, virtually no penalties. He somehow managed to be a plus player while taking no penalties, scoring more on the power play than he took minor penalties. And like I said, I can recall individual penalties of his, and it just makes me think, yeah, this is a sportsmanlike player. This is a guy who's not going to hurt you with bad decision-making. And if you put him on the man advantage, this is a guy who's going to hurt the other team. He was the only choice in my mind. That when you consider the Wheat Kings are the highest penalized team in the league, they were flirting with 950 penalty minutes by year's end. For him to only contribute 10, the amount of ice time he gets, that's quite something.
And we went from one award that was pretty much a given to another one that we could not separate these two. When you talk about the Unsung Hero Award, and you think about, you know, those guys that do all of those intangibles that don't always stick out on the ice, but those guys that play in all situations, that are willing to block shots, willing to go the extra mile, and don't get the credit for it, Caleb Hadlin and Charlie Ehlich in our organization split the votes. So we had to give out co-winners with those two guys.
I will tell you who Charlie Ehlich is not underrated by, is not unsung by, and that's scouts. You go into that scouts room, and NHL scouts love this guy. 6'3", 200 pounds, right shot D-man who can move the puck. I've got a stat for each guy that I want to drop on you to highlight just the kind of year they had. Charlie Ehlich had, I think it ended up being 27 points this year. 25 of those were at even strength. It wasn't until the last day of the regular season, the last goal of the regular season for the Wheat Kings, that he got a power play point. For the entire year, almost, he had more shorthanded points than power play points. So this is a guy not getting a lot of man advantage time who still managed to put up good, solid numbers as a D-man. And oh, the hip checks. I love the hip checks. He's so good with those. They're so fun to watch. The other stat I'm going to throw out comes from Caleb Hadlin. Only one guy on the Wheat Kings played all 68 games this year. That was Caleb Hadlin, but it goes a little deeper than that. When I kind of tricked my memory when I said, well, hang on, he's played all 68 games, but that's not all. The Wheat Kings were down a lot of forwards in the preseason. Holy smokes, he played all four games there too. Caleb Hadlin has played an original Western Hockey League schedule this year, 72 games.
Wow. And that comes after him bouncing back from injury last year. So for him to get a full season in, that's awesome.
Yeah, and he was good all season. This wasn't, oh, I guess we'll put him in the lineup because we have nobody else. This is, no, we'll put him in the lineup and he's going to play power play, penalty kill, even strength, net empty at their end, net empty at our end. He's going to be on the ice for everything.
He played everywhere. Love watching him play. After that, we had the Fans' Choice Award. This one was opened up to the fans to go and vote. Now, I want to just clarify on the pod here, just so in case anybody is wondering about, are the votes monitored? Yes, they are. I can actually see who does the votes two times, who does some votes 40 or 50 times. You know, shout out to Carrot River. You guys got some support out there for Jaden.
Oh, my goodness, yes. We were getting the comments on our Facebook page of vote for your favorite Wheat King, and from Carrot River, Saskatchewan, you just had weens.
And then I go on there. I'm like, okay, yep. So I see that one person voted, like 40 times. Okay, well, that's going to count as one, unfortunately. So anyway, we went through and did that. What was funny, though, is that it didn't really matter in the end. Even with the duplicate votes, the legit winner is a legit winner. And it's hard to beat a guy that is local, an NHL pick, a higher-end NHL pick, and had a bobblehead made of him this year. So Carson Bjarnason won the Fans' Choice Award.
Yeah, he ticks all the boxes. And every now and then I just pause to think how lucky we are to work with this guy. Like, we'll hear from head coach and GM Marty Murray a bit about what he means on and off the ice for the team, but that's a guy you can take to any community event and he will crush it. That's a guy you can have on this podcast, for instance, as we have had, and you know he will do extremely well. That's a guy who has the pedigree of a number one goaltender in this league, a year left to work with that pedigree. Oh, and by the way, he's going for a franchise in the NHL that has a pretty good connection with Western Manitoba in the Philadelphia Flyers. So in so many ways, he's the perfect concoction of a fan favorite here in Wheat City.
He easily also could have, like we talked about, won the most community-minded award. But in the end, he was going to win three awards this night as well. So try and spread it out a little bit here, Barney. You know, you can't be that lovable.
I'd say other than an unsung hero, you could make a case for him on just about
almost everything else. That's right.
Probably not best defenseman, but you never know.
After fans' choice, some nights with that goal line save, the top Manitoban award. Now, the next two awards that we're going to talk about had some pretty fun little presenters' stories that came in. The presenters were talked to the day before because they just got back in Brandon, and that's Nolan Richie and Calder Anderson. It was awesome to have them to get back and to be a part of our last game.
Oh, absolutely. Guys who finished their careers as Wheat Kings, Manitoba-born guys, Brandon guys who knew each other growing up. I know Nolan Richie played his entire career with Brandon. And it was nice that for Calder Anderson, who spent a lot of his career in Moose Jaw, a return to Brandon was what really kind of revitalized his career. And off the ice, I don't think I'm ever going to forget what those two guys did in my second year in the Western Hockey League when they helped that man in distress off the bridge. Like, that was just such an incredible moment for this team, for this city, and I think they deserve accolades for that forever, as far as I'm concerned. But to have them as presenters, really special.
Nolan Richie gave out the top Manitoban award, an award that he won just a couple of years ago, so that was pretty cool, too. And he gave it again, number 64, Carson Bjarnason. sorry, Hayden Wedden. You know, the only other Manitoban who is eligible for the award. Of course, this was just Barney's year. And then up next, it was Calder Anderson giving out the most improved. One thing I thought was, I didn't even think about this at the time until it actually happened. When we introduce, you know, Nolan Ritchie, Moose Jaw players, they didn't really, a couple kind of acknowledged he was coming out. Like, they did for all our presenters, you know, generally nice. But when Calder came out, I made a point to look down. The entire Moose Jaw bench, like, stood up and, you know, started tapping sticks and welcoming him back. Because, of course, his connection's there. So, just kind of a fun little thing how that happened to work out there. But the opposing team, and I'm kind of glad, too, because that was, like, the fourth award in a row. I don't want to get the opposing team mad that we're taking too long to start the period at that point. But, you know, but, no, they love seeing Calder out there, and then he gave his award the most improved to number 13 Roger McQueen, who after the year he had before as a 16-year-old to this season, the step up that kid has made, it's been phenomenal.
And to my mind, there was competition for this one too. I thought Caleb Hadlin probably deserved some recognition here, but just the gap between Roger McQueen at 16 and Roger McQueen at 17, it's scary if you're playing against the Wheat Kings. What makes it really fun to think about is what's going to happen between 17 and 18 for Roger. Yeah. Because he took this gigantic, springing, John Carter of Mars leap forward in his development. And now I'm wondering, okay, what's next? Here's a 6'5", not quite 200-pound right shot center with great vision, good touch around the net. The ceiling is limitless for this guy, and I can't wait to see what he hits.
Then we get into the quote-unquote big awards at the postgame, which is just the ones that you'd expect to kind of wrap up the year. We had our scoring champion. That was given out by Perry Burks and the Brandon Sun. This is a fun one when it's not the last game of the regular season and the guys are tied. So it was one of those things where we kind of had to say, you know, it's not set in stone, but as of right now, Ryland Roersma, Brett Hyland are co-winners of the scoring champion as of that night.
So funny thing, in Regina, as I'm racking my brains trying to think about the goals the Wheat Kings scored, they entered with the same number of points. Brett Hyland picks up a second assist on Nick Johnson's game-tying goal. That was the decider. So Brett Hyland is officially your scoring champion. But that night, when those guys had a chance to get separation on each other, they both scored goals in the third period. So nothing changed, even though they both had beautiful shots to help secure that Wheat King win.
Brett had an empty net at the end of the game there, and he tried to do a dangle. I don't know if he knew how much time he had. I want to yell like through the microphone, it's for the scoring lead, Brett! Put it in the empty net!
He was too nice. He wanted to share it with Roars, but he ended up getting a point the next night that gave it to him anyway.
Well, Roars still got the plaque, so he's got a plaque that says he's the co-scoring champion. Because
on a night where he finally got his 20th goal, how about that?
It was awesome. That was a great night. So those guys, they got the awards for that night at least. Top grad, this is a Art Marshall Award. Now, Art Marshall's great-grandson, Brian Mitchell, has given out this award for the last few years, and we get to pick this award too, but there's a few awards on here when it is like this with family or there's these connections. They like to have their say. Brian stopped me on the concourse later in the season, and he said, like, it's got to be Brett, right? It's going to be Brett this year. Like, we really want it to be Brett. I was like, listen, he's been a four-year Wheat King, you know, and all this. He's wearing the C. It's probably going to be Brett, right? Like, it's we get it. But just it was like that unanimous that even, you know, he had to stop me to say, like, I want our family award to go to Brett Hyland. So top grad, Brett.
Yeah, and this is nothing at all against either of Jaden Weens or Jackson D'Souza, but it's also not just a seniority issue. I mean, Brett Hyland is your captain. He's your leading scorer. He's
an NHL draft
pick. He's an NHL draft pick, and if you do want to dive into seniority, he has embodied what it means to be a Wheat King. When I talk to him about this, he says the style inherent of being a Brandon Wheat King is the style he wants to play. And when you talk to Marty Murray, as we will, he says the style Brett plays is inherent in what they want in a Brandon Wheat King. So the two are just such a match made in heaven that, yeah, you absolutely give it to Brett Hyland.
After that, we gave out the Rookie of the Year. Now, this is one that, you know, each year you really only have a couple of guys who are actually eligible for this award. This year, Carter Klippenstein was the guy that just kind of separated himself from the other new guys.
Yeah, and he's doing things that make me think that this time next year we're going to be talking about him as a draft prospect. It's worth remembering that Carter Klippenstein, like Roger McQueen, is a late birthday. And I think the way he's played this year, the scoring touch he's added to the sandpaper that he always had, his development has been impressive to watch. And by the time the second half wrapped up, this was a guy that you could put in scoring roles and he would make it count. He's got that great wrist shot off the flank that always seems to fool goaltenders. He's picked more corners than a lot of other Wheat Kings have this year. And I think he earned that Rookie of the Year award. Really going back even into September and October, he's been pretty consistently one of the top rookies for Brandon.
After Rookie of the Year, it was the Brad McCrimmon Top Defenseman Award, of course, named in honor of not only one of the greatest Wheat Kings of all time, but one of the best defensemen to ever come out of the WHL, Brad McCrimmon. In the last 10 years, Rob, this award has had back-to-back winners now three times. Ivan Provorov won it back-to-back years in that 14-15, 15-16. Then you had Braden Schneider.
I was going to guess Braden Schneider.
He won it on back-to-back years. And now this year, going back-to-back, Quinn Manti.
You are keeping good company, Q, but you have earned every bit of it. Last year, he emerges. And, you know, I think doing it at 17 was pretty impressive, but doing it at 18 is just another logical step forward for him. He's been all things to all people for the Wheat Kings this year. Good with the puck, good with his stick, good at defense, good at finishing those checks. Every now and then he gets a little burr under his saddle and runs somebody over, which is always nice to see, especially when you consider the playoffs are coming up. He'll block shots. Another guy you can trust on the power play and penalty kill. Really worthy winner. I will, however, give a quick shout out. I think his year deserves recognition for Luke Shipley with 9 goals on the back end, including the game-winning goal the very night that award was handed out. I think Luke Shipley took a big step this year, but Quinn Manti was still the go-to guy from pole to pole for the Wheat Kings.
Luke Shipley actually had more than a few votes for unsung hero as well. He had a great season. Finished out the night, it was with the MVP award. Now, this one, it was... Let's kind of be honest. It was probably a 2-person race, but in the end, Carson Bjarnason was the one who came out on top.
Yeah, when you've got a clear number one goaltender, that guy's always going to be in the MVP conversation. And then, of course, he's in there with Brett Hyland, who's your leading goal scorer, your only guy to break that 30-goal barrier. Those are two guys that are going to be right in the mix for this. But Carson Bjarnason, night in and night out, he's the guy they lean on. He's the guy who gives them a chance to win every night. If you're looking at this series coming up with the Moose Jaw Warriors, and you're thinking to yourself, they have a chance. Part of the reason you're thinking they have a chance is they've got the stalwart number one goaltender. They've got one of the best goalies in the league. They've got that divisional all-star, as he was named the other day. He's the guy that gives you the confidence every night.
So in the end, it was Brett Hyland, winning the most amount of awards with 4, Carson Bjarnason with 3, and Carter Klippenstein with 2. That was all for the multi-award winners, but it was a great night at awards night. If anybody listening, if you guys want to see the highlight pack, so what happens is once the award name is announced, the players do not know ahead of time. So they're finding out the same time as everybody in the arena. We read out their name, and as they hop over the boards and skate over, there is a highlight package that plays on the big screen. If you want to go and see those highlight packs, because it kind of takes a long time to make, and, that's sort of our job.
I watched the steam burning from your computers that whole week long. They were so angry at you.
Between me and... Shout out to Greg Sherris. I don't know if Greg ever listens to these, but it is a mountain to climb for awards night. Anybody who knows production, to put together even like a 20-second clip video when you're talking about scrubbing highlights and creating graphic packages and all, it's work upon work. But... 15 award videos had to be made that night, plus the year-end video, which is like a 10-minute epic video. I was trying to be epic, talking about the whole story of the year.
I think he succeeded.
Go online to WheatKings.com. If you just scroll down not too far, a little bit, you're just going to see that awards night is on there, and all of the awards, along with the PA scripting we kind of just went through, it's all on there. So you can go and you can rewatch any of the highlight packs, including the year-end video. So in case you weren't at the last game of the year and you wanted to watch anything back, by all means, go and check that out. But last game of the regular season was on a Thursday this year. Thank you, Winnipeg. Glad to think that that's not going to happen next year.
Yeah, the divisions are going to balance themselves out a little bit next season with Swift Current moving back over. So that's going to make for a slightly saner schedule. And Winnipeg, even when they're not in the league, they're throwing machinery into the spokes of the Brandon Wheat Kings. They don't even have to exist anymore to irritate us.
So we are going to be getting into our interview right now. We're going to come back and we'll do a little wrap-up afterwards, but it is playoff time, Rob. You know, the regular season's over. Awards are handed out. The playoff matchup is set. It's your Wheat Kings and the Moose Jaw Warriors, and the one guy we really want to talk to you about this would be Marty Murray. And now joining us live in the Wheat King studio, we have Brandon Wheat King general manager and head coach Marty Murray. Marty, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing good.
We're good.
Excited. Yes. We're on the eve of the playoffs. It's the most exciting time of the year, but for you, there's got to be a lot of stuff going on inside your head, with some pressure on you at this time. Are you getting enough sleep? Are you ready?
Well, I don't know if you ever get enough sleep during the hockey season, but no, it's more of out of excitement. You know, I think you come into the year, and obviously one of the boxes you want to check off is to be a playoff team, right? And we had some stress down the stretch and had some injury trouble there and limped through it. We're pleased to be a playoff team and have an opportunity to continue our season.
And you're going in on a three-game winning streak, too, which has got to feel nice, rattling off three wins in a row over divisional opponents to secure that sixth spot. What's the team confidence level like?
You know, it should be good. I think that, our conference, our division is so tight that regardless who we drew in the first round of the playoffs, it was going to be a tough opponent. At the same time, I think we've played every team in our division well, and we should go in with some confidence and a belief that we can play with anybody.
It was a very interesting last game of the regular season here at home, as it's awards night. It's a big night for the franchise as you look back at the year that was, celebrate the guys' season. But it's also a big game on the ice because you're facing Moose Jaw, who turns out is going to be the first-round opponent. Going back to that game, before we even get too far in the playoffs here, Marty, let's just kind of look back at the season. It's been quite the regular season, and we're putting together all the year-end videos and doing those interviews and just talking about the guys and the stories that we've had. This has been a great group of kids that have been Wheat Kings here this year.
Yeah, they really are. I think that, you want to have players that are strong members of the community, and I think our guys have done a good job of that, getting out and upholding that responsibility as junior hockey players. And there's been lots of ups and downs, like every organization on the ice throughout the year. We've battled and got through some adversity. Obviously, the biggest one is probably the trade deadline when we moved Nate, and obviously a real tough day for our organization. But I think guys did a pretty good job of rallying and everybody pulling on the rope a little harder and taking more responsibility. So it was fun to see them grow here in the last half of the year as well. And looking forward to seeing them in the playoffs spring.
You say guys that are leaders in the community, and the first place my mind goes to from the start of the year to present is Carson Bjarnason. How much has he meant to the team, both on and off the ice this year? Because it seems like he's had his hand in everything.
Yeah, he's such a mature kid for, an 18-year-old. And he's been like that since I've known him for 2 years. He's a real humble, team-first guy. And guys love him. They're gravitated for him. I think goalies have a history of maybe being a little quirky. But Carson's just a regular, easygoing, competitive young man that is going to do well in the hockey world and beyond.
Quirky is a nice way to say weird.
Yeah, that is a very gentle way to say that. Yeah. Almost as if you, as a longtime professional hockey player, might have known some quirky goalies.
Definitely, yeah. There's a list as long as my arm.
At awards night, one of my favorite things put together is the overage presentation, just because it does mean a lot in terms of those guys playing the last regular season game. And this year, kind of, a different tale amongst all three 20s, where you had one guy's here for his whole career, one guy spends the last year, one guy comes here during the last year. But let's start with the guy with the least game played as a Wheat King uniform, but Jackson D'Souza, and the big impact he's made on the club since coming over.
Yeah, for sure. Jackson integrated himself right into the locker room right away. I think that was one of the big things with Jackson. He's a defender first, which we needed at the time. But more importantly, I think he brought a real element to our locker room that we hadn't had. He's outgoing, personality, a big personality that we needed in the locker room. And it's been fun having him on. And he's definitely, I feel that he's very comfortable in the locker room now. He brings an element that we didn't have before, and with that comes the intensity too. So, you look what he's done on the ice. He's a guy that has zero fear of getting in front of shots, and I think it's kind of bled through the lineup. You can see more guys getting in the way of shots, and when we've won some big games down the stretch against your Saskatoons and teams like that, I shot blocking is the biggest one of the biggest reasons we did, and I think Jackson led the way in that, and help bring that to the identity of our hockey club.
kind of keeping with the overagers, I'll tell people when they ask that by spending as much time around the team as I do, I become a fan of certain players. There's no getting around it. And one of the guys that I will say I'm a fan of is Jaden Weans. Did you get a sense before you acquired him from Saskatoon of what kind of person he was? Because the player is fairly obvious if you watch his highlights, their goals within 6 feet of the paint. But the person maybe caught me off guard a little bit.
Jaden's a real strong competitor. We knew that coming in from Saskatoon. And you know, you'd hoped, again, being a 20-year-old with experience in the league, you know, he would have that leadership ability, and you know, it was very evident to see he did have that. And you know, he's a hardworking guy that wears his heart on his sleeve every night. And you know, one guy that I thought really stepped up his game in the second half, especially after we moved Nate, was Jaden Weans. And you know, especially down the stretcher, he's played some real good hockey.
I've got to also ask on his front, he's a guy who right now would lead active Wheat King skaters in playoff games played because he had that run with Saskatoon and the appearance with the Blades the year before. Was that kind of in your mind when you acquired him?
Yeah, you know, you want those guys that have been around winning organizations and had those deep playoff runs. I think that's valuable to have those leaders in the locker room. And Jaden had a strong playoff last year, not only playing a lot of games, but I think he led the Blades in goals last year in the playoffs. So he's one of those guys that just is a playoff performer, and he's certainly proven that down the stretch.
A guy who definitely earned the letter on his jersey very quickly coming here, and then closing out the 20-year-old speak, Brett Hyland, who talking about, you know, when Nate was moved, I know internally here in the office there was some discussion. I was the first one to say, I think Brett's the only choice. And I know that you don't want to put any pressure on him at the time, but I mean, talk about a guy who is, you know, ready and willing to take the C.
Yeah, I think, you know, Brett exemplifies what we want a Wheat King to be. He's a blue-collar kid that works his tail off every day, and you know, he's what we want our team identity to be. He works hard. He on and off the ice. He cares. You know, and he's a very valuable piece of our lineup, obviously. And you know, one of the things with Brett is that he cares so much and tries so hard. You didn't want him to try to do too much with the C. And you know, I think that that's maybe one of the reasons it took a little longer. We wanted to make sure that he was comfortable with it. But there's no question he was the right man for the choice. You know, I know he wants to close his junior hockey career on a high note, and we expect him to you know, lead the way with our work ethic and compete going into the series against Moose Jaw.
And that can be a lot to drop on a young man. Not only, hey, you're the captain now, but a longtime teammate who's been with the team as long as he has moved out, a friend, a line mate for that matter, on the ice. How did Brett kind of handle the transition?
Well, I think everybody took it pretty hard in the beginning, and we expected that. You know, it's hard to replace a Nate Danielson both on and off the ice, and those guys have been here through thick and thin with them. So it was definitely hard on our whole team, in particular our guys that have you know, played with them for numerous years. So it took a little time for guys to kind of get over it, and you know, I think they got a taste of what the ugly side of the hockey business is, and to their credit though, they've really rallied here in the second half and showed we're a team to reckon with.
And when you look at the return that came over too, once you get Rav into the lineup and you got now Johnny who's healthy, you know, Nicholas Johnson, Rhett Ravindahl, now that they're into it and all the guys are, like you said, Rob, going on this 3-game winning streak, you know, I could tell the morale going around in the locker room seems to be super positive right now, which is all you could want for your team at this time of the year.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things we talked about you know, after the regular season wrapped up and into playoffs is, you know, before we get into talking about our opponent and talking or showing video and spending our week preparing, I think the first thing we need to decide in here is that we have a belief that we can beat our opponent. And if we go in, yeah, we certainly have to respect our opponent. Moose Jaw's a tremendous team. Their high end is off the charts. But if we go into the playoffs with doubts in our mind or just being happy to get here, it's you know, it's not going to end well. So you know, one of the first thing we wanted to you know, talk about as a group is, do we have the belief that we can beat our opponent? And the answer is yes. It's not going to be easy. They're, like I said, they're a tremendous team, but I think our guys respect our opponent, but at the same time do have a belief that we can play with them.
And you brought up a guy there, Chris, that I want to kind of single out here for a second, and that's Nick Johnson, because not only did he score and pick up a couple points in the last couple games of the year, there were moments where I saw the power forward side that you had described to me when the Wheat Kings acquired him, standing up to Goldsmith with a couple of good shoulder checks in this building. There was the play in Regina. I can't remember. I think it was Mushamansky he hit, and the poor kid went flying. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a guy who could really do well in the playoffs with that style.
For sure, and I think he's had such a rocky year. He come into Brandon not playing for a couple months, I think, with his injury, and then just kind of getting into the groove of being an everyday player with us, and broke his wrist. And so it's been kind of an up and down season for Nick. And you know, I think that now he has his feet under him, and he's his confidence, I think he could be a nice piece of a playoff puzzle for us.
So looking now at this weekend, you're heading into Moose Jaw for a Friday-Saturday matchup. And you're looking, like you said, the very, you know, offensively skilled team with Jagger Furkers has been named the CHL scoring champion. 2 points a game. So, you know, when you go into that and you're in the away building, you can't control all the matchups, but how much can you control?
Well, yeah, you try to, you need two or three lines to be able to play against, you know, Jagger and Furkus, but, you know, the other piece of that, then they roll out Calvert and Savoy, right? So, you know, we're going to need guys to play against those lines. That's the nature of the beast, and with matchups and stuff like that. You have to recognize when those high-end players are on the ice, and you have to be extra careful with the puck. You know, one of the things that I hated at the time, but hopefully we can learn from, was our first period against Moose Jaw in here a week ago, where we didn't manage the puck and we turned pucks over, and it was quickly in our net, and both Furkus and Jagger had 3 points in the first period without breaking a sweat. We just kind of give those players opportunities, and they make you pay. So hopefully that was a hard lesson for us to learn. We won the game, which we're happy about, but those are some things we need to draw on and understand what it's going to take to have any type of chance in the first round.
That first period against Moose Jaw in this building was something I wanted to talk about, actually, because we've talked in the past when the Wheat Kings have been facing, whether it's Moose Jaw or Saskatoon or whoever happens to have some really high-end firepower. One thing we've discussed is the idea of being aware of who you are on the ice against, being aware that there are certain guys that maybe you can try to dangle some guys, but you don't want to try to do that with Jagger and Furkus. Maybe you can try the stretch pass on some guys, maybe not while Calvert and Savoy are on the ice. Was that something that was maybe lacking in that first period?
For sure. You know, you look at a couple turnovers we had that was just gifts again, they're elite players. They're going to make you pay, and in some weird way, hopefully, that was something we had to learn and that we can't do. And you know, everybody knows the quality players their big guys are, and you know, at the same time, again, we have that belief, and you know, we were real happy with their second and third period against them last week. I thought we played really well, and you know, they were missing Matejchuk and Savoy, you know, and there wasn't a lot up for grabs for them, but at the same time, I think it was a nice statement for us in the second and third that, you know, this is the type of game we have to play.
Recalling your own playing career, were there guys that you found yourself matched up against, whether in the NHL or right here in Brandon, where you realized, okay, I've got to take maybe a bit of a different approach to the game when this guy's on the ice?
Yeah, you know, I think it comes down to, you know, relishing a matchup. You know, I remember, you know, playing my junior days, and you took pride in playing against the other team's top players and had something to prove. And, you know, that was my mentality when I was a Wheat King, is like, you know, give me this matchup. I want it. You know, I want to win it. I want to come out on top. So, you know, that's the mentality we want our guys to have, is take pride in neutralizing, you know, those top players when they're on the ice. And, there's no question in my mind, for us to have success in the first round, that's what's going to happen.
Playoff hockey is the best hockey. Going back to your playing days, you had a couple of playoff runs here. What were some of the best playoff memories from your playing days?
Well, without question, it was my last year, you know, with the Wheat Kings. Kamloops hosted the Memorial Cup, so the Eastern Conference champs got into the Memorial Cup. So I remember game 7 against PA here to the winner go to the Memorial Cup. Sold out Keystone Center, and I can't remember the score. I think it was maybe 5-2 us, but just the intensity and the atmosphere in the arena was something I'll never forget. And you know, winning that final game to go to the Memorial Cup was certainly a career highlight for me, and to be able to do it, with my closest friends and in the Westman area at home, with family in the building was a like I said, a career highlight.
You used a term there, playoff hockey. I'll find myself using it, I'm sure, on the broadcast over the next couple of weeks. But I'm sure there are some fans wondering, you think about it, it's fundamentally the same game. How different is playoff hockey, really?
Well, just the intensity ramps up. And I think guys would be lying to you if they said, oh, I'm not nervous at all. It's natural to have nerves. The best players in the world, when they get to the playoffs, I'm sure they have some nerves. So that's part of it. And for us opening up on the road, I think it's important that we keep it real simple early. And we got to, be assertive and be the team moving. If we're kind of standing around, kind of waiting to figure out how the playoffs are going to start out, we're going to probably find ourselves in a hole early. So we have to come out and keep it simple and play to our identity. The last thing we want to do is to get into a trading chances competition against Moose Jaw. They just have their high end has too much to offer. So we have to, be ugly and greasy and grind it out against a team like that.
Well, good luck this weekend as you guys get prepared for games 1 and 2 in Moose Jaw. I know that here we're getting ready and get excited to host some playoff hockey again at Westoba Place. It has been a couple of years. It's going to be nice to have them back. So that's coming up next Wednesday and Thursday. Again, Marty, just it's going to be great to have the community back here for playoff hockey coming back here to Westoba Place.
No question. Again, I'm really looking forward to it. Again, you draw from your playing games a long time ago, and just the excitement and energy in this rink is second to none. We've been a real good home team this year, and I think we can do that in the playoffs as well. But just in the regular season, you can feel a difference in the guys when there's a strong fan base behind us, and it brings out a different level to the game. And that's what playoff hockey is all about. We're looking forward to it.
Try to get a split. That'd be great. But they do say you're never in trouble until you lose your first home game, right? But a split would be great. Or just go win both.
Yeah, well, that would be ideal.
That'd be plan A.
Yep. So, no, we're going in there with the mindset that we can win hockey games. We have to. And for us to get out of, a round in the playoffs, we have to win on the road. And we have to understand what we are and our identity and just going and play our hearts out here for two games.
Just as well, the team is starting on the road, incidentally. You'd probably have a hard time skating on Westoba Place ice right about now. And I've got to ask before we let you go, because you are a Southwest Manitoba guy. Do you have memories of the Winter Fair growing up as a kid at all? Were you in this building for this kind of event? Because this is actually my first one being in this building for it. And it's
he's never had a fiddlestick before.
Never had a fiddlestick before.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I was looking for a beaver tail
City
the other
boy,
day, too.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time.
Yeah, I mean, I think I recall coming to the Winter Fair as a young kid. I probably remember more of it as a player at the Wheat Kings. With us being out of the arena for the Winter Fair, we ended up playing playoff games in Winnipeg at the Winnipeg Arena. So probably recall the Winter Fair, just the clash of schedules and us moving on into Winnipeg to play the first round of the playoffs. Ironically, I think it was against Moose Jaw my last year. So, which was a fun experience, with a good crowd in Winnipeg playing in a different arena. But again, you work all year and to do good things in your own home rink, and it'll be nice to play all our home games here in this arena.
It is kind of strange to be, almost rooting to be the away team for that reason this year. We didn't have to move. We're going to be here. So, no, we'll take it. It'd be a great matchup. A season series. Split it with them. This should be a great 7-game series. Good luck, Marty.
Thanks, guys.
Again, our thanks to Marty Murray for joining us here this week on the podcast. It's going to be a big, tough matchup this weekend, but I know there's going to have a lot of fans even making the trip in Moose Jaw to go and see those games, and a whole lot more who have been dealing with me and emailing me about how do I get my WHL live working for playoffs, because they want to be watching, of course, this Friday, Saturday.
It's funny, we were on a call with the Western Hockey League earlier this week to kind of set the table for the playoffs. What are the expectations and so on and so forth? And yeah, the topic of WHL Live came up. People want to make sure that they're able to watch these games, so the league is on top of it, let's say that.
Yes. Speaking of which, playoff packs for WHL Live are online. You can go and check that out now. And playoff packs here in the office. it's better to experience, of course, our games live. So you're going to want to be here for games 3 and 4, potentially for game 6. You can get your playoff pack now. You can go online to WeKings.com, contact the office, be glad to help you out. But yeah, playoff packs are available. Tickets for these games are going to be going fast once they're up. So it's going to be awesome. But Rob, playoff hockey coming back to Westwood Place. And this will be your first time here, I guess, seeing playoff hockey.
Well, first time as a broadcaster.
Yeah,
when
okay.
When I was a young man, you know, there was no Winnipeg ice. If you wanted to watch junior hockey in Manitoba, as is the case again, you come to watch the Wheat Kings. So I came to watch playoff games, even Memorial Cup games in 2010 in this building. But I tended to be coming later on in the playoffs. I mean, for one thing, when I was younger, the playoffs for the Wheat Kings in this building didn't happen until the later rounds, as we alluded to with the Winter Fair. And for another, that's when the excitement kicks in. So the last playoff game I think I attended was between the Wheat Kings and Kelowna Rockets in that 2015 championship series. And this place has its own heartbeat. And I would love to see it get there again. 1 year removed from the playoffs, fans kind of had to, you know, grin and bear last season where they missed. Though I will point out, doing some digging ahead of the playoffs, the Wheat Kings have not missed the playoffs in back-to-back years since the early 90s.
Yes, no, there has been a big history of, you know, successful seasons here getting the playoffs each year because... you know, and a lot of years, we'll talk about this, there's a Wheat King fans who were ingrained to be like, I'm going to wait for round two. I'm not, you know, it's okay. We don't have to go to round one. There's going to be a round. They expect success. And now after not getting it last year, I really hope we see games 3 and 4 here, weekday games with some big crowds because playoff hockey is not an assurance and it's going to be a tough matchup. But this is going to be a incredible series. When you look at the regular season matchup between these two teams, this is not looking like a 6-3 matchup on paper.
No, this is a season series where each team goes 4-3-1. And if you dig through the individual games, kind of scrub the first game between the Wheat Kings and Warriors where it was 9-4 Brandon, because that's a game where many of the participants in this series weren't available on either side. Like the Wheat Kings hadn't added D'Souza or Johnson or
way too early.
Yeah, it was just way too early in the season. The rosters hadn't taken shape at all. It's one of those series that is otherwise, if you get rid of that blowout, virtually airtight. You've got a lot of these 1 and 2 goal games, and a lot of the 2 goal games were only 2 goal games because there were empty netters involved. So this is a very close series between two teams that don't like each other, play very fast and physical hockey, and have had strong showings against each other in each other's building all season long. This is going to be one to watch. Like, even if you talk to people around the Western Hockey League, those who don't have a dog in the fight, so to speak, anyone who's an unaffiliated fan or maybe a fan of a team that didn't make the dance, this is a series they've got circled.
It's going to be interesting. We'll see how it goes. We will try our best to do another pod potentially next week. Games Wednesday, Thursday, though.
Yeah, that's going to make life a little difficult.
It's going to be difficult, but we're going to do our best to try and get this thing back up on a semi-regular basis now that things are starting to sort of settle a little more in terms of at least the schedule.
Oh, you said it.
There it is. Yep. We'll talk to you again in 2 months. No, that's going to do it, though, for episode 74 of the Weekly Harvest this week. Rob, safe travels to Moose Jaw.
Always appreciate it, Chris. Can't wait to do this again.
And we hope to see everybody back here at Westwood Place for games 3 and 4 next Wednesday and Thursday. For all the ticket details, check out WeKings.com. Have yourself a great week. Take care. Cheers.